you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's John 3:16.
Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew 6:33.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, February 14th, 2023. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Now, realizing that this is a very happy, fun day for many, and yet also a sad day or a hard day for many also. So we want to be sensitive. So those of you that have those loved ones that you want to treat out today or give a gift or enjoy an afternoon together or an evening together, enjoy that. For those of you that maybe have lost your loved one or feeling unloved or have a real struggle with this day, that's why I led off with John 3:16, because God loves you. God understands you. He has a plan and purpose for you. Even today, even if you're experiencing great loss or the memories of your loved one are fading or are very poignant because recently he or she passed away, God does love you, and may our broadcast today be an encouragement to you, a blessing to you. So allow John 3:16 to emphasize again in your heart and mind that God does in fact love you. And in fact, on this Testimony Tuesday, Mike Thomas joins me in the studio. Thank you, Mike, for coming early, because I think we've had about an hour together of just sharing stories and networking and hearing about your lovely wife, Rachel, and how God has called you to do what you're doing, working with the Salvation Army here in town, and the various ways that God has demonstrated his love for you through your testimony. Because as I was doing a little show prep on you, prior to 2009, you lived a life of crime and were in the darkness. You were really not pursuing God. And also in 2009, it was the fifth time you were incarcerated, but God used that to awaken you to his love and his plan. So on this Testimony Tuesday, we'll probably come back to that Matthew 6:33 verse.
Sure.
But walk us through some of your faith journey and how God has demonstrated his love for you, as many might be feeling unloved or don't even know about God's love.
Sure. Yeah. Mark, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here with you guys today, and, you know, blessings to all your listeners. Yeah. As a little guy, I remember going to church with my dad and, you know, kind of always having this belief that there could be a God and there should be a God, but never really having that relationship or that oneness with him, never having that desire to really be of anything. I remember being little and just not having much hope or ambition, you know, kind of a broken home I was raised in. So at a very early age, you know, I gravitated towards the streets and found some people that, you know, were older than me and just kind of began to do what they were doing. And that was, you know, running the streets, drugs and alcohol, you know, breaking into garages and just whatever it was at that time. And as a result of those things, you know, I received consequences at a fairly young age and was in and out of juvenile detention centers and rehabs, you know, and things like that. But I just remember always having this kind of God in the back of my mind or something, you know, that I knew that there was something out there. You know, fast forward, it just continued to get worse, darkness, and the depravity of my addiction and my alcoholism just continued to take me down to these depths of things I just never thought I would do, and I began to do. Mm-hmm. And that continued to kind of build up. And my fifth time incarcerated, you know, I had lost most of my relationships with my family. In fact, pretty much all of them, all of my loved ones. I had burned a lot of bridges, and rightfully so. I can just imagine how helpless and hopeless they felt. You know, they tried to love me and help me, and nothing could work. So yeah, like you said, it was my fifth time incarcerated. I was in Graham Correctional Center in Hillsboro, Illinois. When I made it back to the penitentiary, I was only out, now mind you, I was only out a couple months, and then I caught a new case and a violation as a result of a blackout drunk, you know, spree at a party. And when I made it back to the penitentiary, I remember some of the guys saying they didn't realize I'd went home. They thought maybe I went to segregation or something, but in fact, I'd went home and violated my parole. So it was like nails on a chalkboard, you know, everything, right? The clat, you know, the talking, just everything, being in that atmosphere. Again, I just remember thinking, this is going to be my life. If this is my fifth time incarcerated, I've been to juvenile detention centers, I've been to rehab, this is just going to be it for me. And I remember laying on my bunk, just on my, you know, on my bed, just so depressed and helpless. And I can honestly say now, you know, that was the first time I had sincerely prayed. I had prayed in the past, but it was usually when I was in trouble. Or, you know, I kind of treated God like a genie, right? And, you know, and get me out of this one. But this time in my life, I had nowhere else to turn. And I remember saying, God, if you're real, show me you're real. And slowly but surely over that incarceration, you know, he brought people into my life to minister to me. I ended up getting connected with the chaplain there in the penitentiary and getting involved. I was baptized in the penitentiary. And I just remember beginning to feel the presence of God.
How old are you at this time?
So this was 2009. So we're going back 11 years. I'm 36. So 20, you know, okay. 25, right? Yeah. And, you know, short life, you just think. But man, I just felt like I was hopeless and helpless. And so God, if you're real, show me you're real. I began to have kind of these experiences with the Lord, reading the word and just being inspired, and started to feel some hope. It was getting close to time for me to go home. My sentence was up, and I knew in my heart of hearts and through some prayer, you know, it probably wasn't a good idea to go back to Southern Illinois, yeah, where I had went time and time again with great intentions and motives. Even though knowing I had this newfound relationship and with Jesus Christ, I just still had hesitancy. So I remember praying, God, you've done this work in me. I know you're going to continue. You know, whatever your plan is, I'm willing to walk that out. And the chaplain, her and I were meeting on a separate topic, Denise Wiseman. She's retired now, but she was just a mighty woman of God that was a presence in my life and a comfort to me during that time. And we were meeting on a separate topic, and she had brought up, what's your plans whenever you leave prison? And I said, it's funny you ask. I'm praying God will reveal that to me. And she told me about this ministry called Transitional Prison Ministries, which was in partnership with Freedom Transitional Ministries. Don Hunt, may God rest his soul. He's went on to be with Jesus, but he was a mighty man of God here. And Tom Hardy, who is my mentor today, they were connected, and they just did prison ministries. So, you know, I paroled to Springfield, not knowing anybody or knowing anything about Springfield, with this newfound relationship with Jesus and kind of this fire in me to, not go back into darkness, not to live that life of crime, but to, you know, bring him glory and honor through my life. With a lot of reconstruction ahead, you know, again, I had, for 20-something years, I had just kind of, you know, quote-unquote raised hell, if you will, and destroyed relationships and hurt people. And,
And so when did you get connected with the Salvation Army?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I'm in Springfield. I don't know anyone. I don't know anything. Mind you, I coming out of the penitentiary, I literally had nothing. The ministry I paroled to was very gracious in the fact that they had many churches that sewed into that ministry. So they were able to get me clothes and a bus pass. You know, I didn't have a driver's license. My identification cards and everything were who knows where. So that process, they helped me with that. And I began literally beating up the streets, knocking on doors, trying to find employment. Because, you know, not only was that part of the program, a man needs, you know, money to live and feed himself.
And with the penitentiary visits or stays, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's on your record. And so many times it can be very challenging. That's why we want to always support these prison ministry works, mm-hmm. because the recidivism is so high because they're not given a chance. And so they can fall into depression or feeling hopeless. And so the fact that you were given a chance. So talk about how you ended up at the Salvation Army.
Yeah. So I'm going, you know, business to business, trying to find an opportunity and not receiving any calls. You know, I literally probably put in 50 or 60 applications before I received an interview. And that interview was with the Salvation Army. The director of operations at the time called me and invited me in for an interview. I had been out, you know, 2-3 months maybe, and just really was exhausted, kind of at the end of my wits with, why can I not find a job? No one, God is faithful. So they gave me a job. You know, I started in the warehouse sorting donations, you know, so clothes and pricing that, getting it ready to go out to the stores. And within about 5 or 6 months, some things changed. And next thing you know, I was the production supervisor. And I had 5 stores I was responsible for and anywhere between 40 and 60 employees. So a lot of responsibility, really thrust into leadership, if you will, but relying on God and my mentor, Tom, to really help me be the man that God had called me to be.
Mm-hmm. And so when did Rachel enter into the picture, your beloved Rachel, who you were bragging up? And she has her own ministry and jewelry. And Bernie and others have said, oh, you got to ask about Rachel, too.
Yeah. She's a sweetheart for sure. You know, so now fast forward to 2015, Rachel, maybe 16. We met and, you know, mutual friends had brought us together. And we were both kind of at this place where, you know, where we weren't really interested in the romance and, you know, had kind of both came out of these dysfunctional relationships and just really focusing on ourselves and our relationship with God. And the Lord brought us together, I feel, and through just building a friendship and going on different dates, we began to think maybe we like one another. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she's my wife. And, yeah, to your point, RLT Jewelry is her business. She makes keepsake jewelry. She's a fourth-generation jeweler, but it's really turned into a ministry where she gets to meet with families and ones that are grieving and hurting and talk about the Lord. So,
now, I know with the Salvation Army, you're a vice chair of the advisory board, and so it's kind of sweet that they gave you one of the first jobs out of prison, and you flourish there. You love the work that you do and they do, and now you're in a role where you assist and sit on the board. But talk maybe a little about the Salvation Army for some of our listeners maybe unfamiliar with the great and varied ministries that you do.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, we're very blessed. You know, again, the Salvation Army's been around forever, right? And here in Springfield, you know, I can't really speak to other markets, but we do, you know, veterans ministry, homeless ministry, drug and alcohol addiction. We have a food pantry where the individual gets to come in and actually shop versus just receiving a bag and hopefully they enjoy and appreciate the food. You know, so we really try to instill the dignity and the love of Jesus into the individuals we serve. We do a lot of outreach in Sangamon County. So, yeah, just very blessed. You know, they were good to me. And, you know, I just feel with the work they're doing, it's my passion. You know, I love the fact that we get to make a difference right here where we live. So
now, before we talk a little bit about Express Employment Professionals, and I think it's just like God's way of winking at you saying, hey, at one point you weren't very employable, and yet now you get to help people get employed, and you get to help people maybe that have not held down a job before, get them gainfully employed, or get to be that matchmaker to set somebody up that has certain skills, and then you recognize they would be a great fit here. So that's a real blessing. And actually, I think you and your team and even the owners look at it as kind of a ministry that you get to do. But first, talk a little about, now we understand kind of you decided to surrender to Jesus because you were kind of at your wit's end. You were like, Lord, I just don't want to continue living this life. But how do you stay committed to him? Do you wake up each day with a routine? Or for the listener that maybe at the beginning of their faith journey, what recommendations do you say to somebody? Here's how you got to stay the course.
Yeah, great question, Mark. So, yeah, to your question, I do. I have a devotional I read every morning, Jesus Calling. I suggest reading the Bible, you know, on a regular basis, finding a group of men that you can trust and rely on, obviously a home church. For me, it's been so encouraging and beneficial to have people around me to help me continue on this walk. you know, I can't do it by myself. Again, I've just been very fortunate to have some strong men that are great examples of not only godly men, but husbands and servants in the community. And yeah, that's how I stay on the path, you know, back with the Salvation Army again, you know, and just this outreach. It's encouraging and edifying to me to, you know, be able to continue to reach my hand out to the person that I once was, you know, whether it's a homeless person or somebody suffering from drug and alcohol addiction or mental illness, and really just be able to be there for them. You know, I know that in and of myself, I'm not able to save them, but just as God saved me, I believe with all of my heart He can save them. So yeah, it's a great life, you know, to be born again and to be living for the Lord. But yeah, that would be my suggestion. Read the Word, you know. That's how your faith will increase and you'll begin to truly hear and feel the Spirit of God.
Yeah, reading that Word daily. And I like where you said, not only are you being mentored, and there's that concept of being a Paul to people, where maybe you're being the mentor of others, or being the Timothy where you're being mentored, or being the Barnabas where you're encouraging others like-minded that are passionate about following Jesus. Because I know you've attended the Iron Sharpens Iron conferences, and you were saying, Mark, do you know about this thing coming up? Do you know about this thing coming up? And so you do see that as an important part of continuing your growth, is attending men's conferences and such.
Yeah, just staying involved, you know. If I go back to my old lifestyle, you know, I was always on the go and doing something, whether it was a party or going to a tavern or something, you know, and I guess it's an excitement, a camaraderie, just a brotherhood. I don't know what you call it, but, you know, the same thing happens on this side of life, right? You can have fun again. You can be joyful and happy and free. It takes a little bit of work, but more just a continuation, a willingness and an open-mindedness to continue to ask for help, continue to push yourself to try new things and to get outside your comfort zone, you know, and just stay involved has been just a blessing to me. You know, things I never thought I would be capable of doing or able to do, God has equipped me, has helped me walk those things out and face those fears and bring Him glory in that.
Well, talk a little bit about what you do at Express Employment Professionals. Say somebody's tuning in and saying, well, am I employable, or I don't feel the current job I'm in is a great fit for me. So give us a little insight into what you do, or maybe a recommendation for somebody looking and doesn't know where to start.
Yeah, no, great question. So Express Employment Professionals is a global franchise system. There's 866 offices all around the world. So I always like to tell people, no matter where you go, chances are there's an Express in your city or market or town. And just like you said, Mark, it's a free service to job seekers. Companies cover the costs associated with recruiting and onboarding and vetting employees. You can download the app. You know, there's an app on iPhone or Android. There's a website. Our phone number here in Springfield is 217-528-3000, 217-528-3000. And yeah, we spend time with the job seeker and really get to understand what have they done, what are they looking to do, what kind of money do they need to make. And then being in this market for 40 years, we're very fortunate to have deep and meaningful relationships with some of the largest and best employers in Sangamon County. So then after we spent time with you understanding what you've done, what you're looking to do, that we didn't try to match you up with a company that has those things that you're looking for. So yeah, it is a ministry. You know, we meet people at all different walks in their job journey, whether they've just been laid off or let go, or they're currently employed looking for something different and better, maybe. Or maybe they're moving into the city for the first time. Back to, you know, kind of working with people and being able to help guide and kind of speak life to them. I always encourage people, especially if you're coming out of the Department of Corrections or a rehab scenario, or you're just starting over, become real comfortable talking about the gaps in your employment history, your criminal background. Majority of employers today really are more concerned with how are you living now and what are you doing now versus what you've done. Now, there are exceptions, of course. We can't help everyone as much as we would like to, but we surely try. And I always like to brag, you know, my team, even if we cannot match you with a job or an employer, we will give you some hope. We will try to give you some good next steps and direction on what that could look like for you to become gainfully employed.
And what's the phone number for them to call again, or at least to maybe touch base with you or what's happening here in the Springfield area?
217-528-3000. 217-528-3000 is our number at Express. Again, my name is Michael Thomas. Always happy to talk and meet with individuals that are seeking employment. Now, I am on the business development side, so more often than not, I work with the employers and really understand their peak seasons and their pain points and their struggles and things they're facing as they're trying to keep, you know, quote unquote, their seats filled in order to get their, you know, production and customers served. So, yeah, I love what I do. It brings me a lot of joy to, like you said, Mark, be able to be in a position now where I'm able to give back in so many ways and help others just as I was helped as I was starting over.
In case you just tuned in, this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. But my special guest on Testimony Tuesday is Mike Thomas. So if you miss some of the front end of this program, you can access it anytime at our archive page at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org. And if you're on the way to work and you couldn't write down that phone number, we'll have it ready for you, whether you talk with Joyce or Karen or part of our team. But the number is 217-528-3000, 217-528-3000. And Mike, in our closing minute or two, there's kind of two things I'd like you to maybe address or answer. Mm-hmm. What are you doing now to help others? And why did you pick out Matthew 6:33 to open up the program?
Yeah, you know, God gave me that scripture way back when I surrendered and asked him to be the Lord of my life. And I just truly believe what that scripture speaks to is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Really speaks to me and reminds me that his kingdom is saving souls. His kingdom is loving on people. His kingdom is being of service and helping people. And that's really what I strive to do. I do that through, you know, several different organizations here. We've talked about the Salvation Army, but it's just really my passion. Whenever you've been saved and set free, as I have been, you know, you don't want anyone to suffer. Because there's a way out, and you know there's a better life on the other side of it. It is painful, it is scary, it is dark, but there is a way out. I don't know, and I still haven't figured out this, why we have to suffer sometimes and be at the end of ourselves before we're willing to do something different. But on the other side of that pain and heartache, there's a life that you could only imagine. So yeah, street ministry, connected with a lot of the rehabs here in Springfield and a lot of the different organizations. The Outlet is a young men's mentoring group. I'm a community ambassador with them. And then, of course, like we've talked about, the Salvation Army just really gives me that vehicle, if you will, to be able to go out and meet people where they are, you know, and bring light to them.
And it seems like God has really used your life experiences, even though some of them were dark days and some of them were days of disappointment or being wasted, or you would say not productive, but you're able to identify and help and bring hope, hopefully, to many of you today that might be struggling or may have never entertained the idea that God loves you and cares for you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be a part of your life. He is the Lord and Savior of all. He's the way that we get to know God the Father. May you draw close to him today because he cares and loves you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mike Thomas with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.